1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't know what is that place?
Well, that's a place that used to be called Tordner's in Hollywood.
Okay, what is your name?
My name's R.C. Collins.
Okay, you're the kid at Bradley Military Academy, right?
Yes, sir.
And you used to be a goth?
Yes, sir. I was a gothic back before I moved in with Father, and then I went to Bradley. But during my time at Chatsworth High, I was very gothic until they changed the dress code to no longer allow capes and staffs. And so that.
Well, wait. You came to school every day in a cape with a staff?
Yes, sir. I would walk the school grounds with a staff, wearing a cape with a hood. I also participated in intramural basketball, and I got kind of a name for myself, going to the hole with a cape on. You know, it was, but a lot of that was, you know, childlike.
Well, so what is this Bordner's, man?
Well, no, it's called Bar Sinister, and it's, have you ever heard about it?
I've heard of Bar Sinister. It's a goth bar?
Yeah, it's probably the finest goth bar in the entire area. And it used to be a bar called Bordner's, what was started by a guy named Steve Bordner. And that was in the 20s.
Where is it?
It's on Cherokee, about 100 feet down from Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay.
And anyway, it was a bar, and it was like a sports bar or a sports hangout for this guy Bordner and a lot of movie stars. W.C. Fields and people like that, and Oliver Laurel and everybody.
Oliver Hardy?
I'm not familiar, but Oliver, or I mean, who's...
Oliver Hardy and Stan Laurel?
Yeah. Well, anyway, in the 20s, they put a beauty salon in front, and it becomes a speakeasy. And the chief of police of L.A. would go in there, roll the bones, and look the other way. Times being what they were, you see. Now, anyway...
What am I, listening to Walter Brennan here or something, man? Get to the point.
Well, the point is, it was taken over by this woman not too long ago and called Bar Sinister. And now, it's a goth bar, but she got everybody in there because she had beautiful models and stuff dressed goth.
So now that's the goth bar in L.A.?
Pretty much. Talk to any gothic. They know where it is.
All right. Well, R.C., thanks very much.
All right. Well, thanks very much for having me on your show, Baba Booey.
Ass. Okay, so Bar Sinister. Well, there you go. That's the place to go, man. That's the place to be seen and to be beaten. Bar Sinister. All right, moving out of the goth arena, let's take a look at some email here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, our number 1-800-449-8686. Thank you to Dean Wheeler for being frightened of his own daughters, afraid that they're going to turn him into an apple. Time now for a little bit of email, though. This one from Joey. Phil, last week I offered 5 points of extra credit to any student of mine who listened to your show long enough to get the name of one of your guests and the general topic of discussion. Today I had 2 students hand in brief descriptions of Margaret Gray and her book Game Over. They don't get it yet. That is the premise of your show. But give them time. As a side note, while explaining how to get the extra credit, one student told the whole class, "My grandpa listens to that show all the time and says that the host is a douchebag. I could barely contain myself. Thanks for the laughs, Joey." What the hell? So they handed in a report of Margaret Gray and her book, Game Over. Plastic surgery is done. Dear Phil, just wanted to let you know I listen to you nightly while out busting hookers on the streets of Long Beach. I've busted many a hooker with you playing on the radio and me wearing my Ted's of Beverly Hills shirt. I've even had the hookers laughing at your bits. Thanks for the backup. Tim Farrell, Detective Sergeant, OIC, Long Beach Police Department. And then finally this. Hi. October 21st, you had a Jay Santos flashback on right after Bobby Dooley's Farm Erotica piece. When? Where Jay was trying to keep track of people who were stuck in floodwaters during torrential rains on the West Coast and during the terrible hurricanes down south. He made note of them being stuck or being in an emergency, but he didn't really do anything to help them because it's a judgment call, and he had just ordered and he just ordered himself an 8-piece from Popeyes. Exactly 1 year ago, October 21st, 2005, is this report in SanFranciscoGate.com. Basically, well, what is that? She didn't print it out for me. Basically, during Katrina, FEMA official Marty Bahamahono was in New Orleans and emailed FEMA director Michael Brown to tell him that thousands of evacuees were gathering in the streets with no food or water, and that estimates are many will die within hours. Sir, I know that you... You know what? This is what I get for not pre-reading, bud.
I told you, you douchebag.
Don't you call me a douchebag. That old man can, but you don't.
Well, why don't you read it?
I don't know what this... There's some freaking report last year in San Francisco Gate. Oh, say, so October the 21st, 2004, Jay Santos was talking about being stuck in floodwaters. So 1 year later, something, all right, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to find sanfranciscogate.com and find out what the freaking article is. And then I'll hook everything up in this email, and then we'll be better, right?
Boy, you're really blowing it, man.
Why don't you shut up, man, and just get online and do this?
What does it say?
Just print it out.
www.stargate.com/
Give me that. I'll do it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, so I figured this out. The gentleman who wrote me the email said that, you know, a year ago, October 21st, Jay Santos was on a radio show, Jay of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he was talking about not really being able to do anything for anybody because he was going to get himself an 8-piece bucket at Popeye's Fried Chicken. Well, a news article, October the 21st, 2005, 1 year later, apparently Mike Brown, the director of FEMA, was castigated in a news article by a former FEMA official named Marty Bahamondi. And apparently one of Mr. Brown's secretaries or one of the people who keeps his schedule said, well, you know, he wanted the director to come down to the Superdome where Mr. Bahamondi was to see for himself, you know, what was going on. In fact, Bahamondi said, quote, I just ate an MRE and crapped in the hallway of the Superdome along with 30,000 other close friends, so I understand her concern about busy restaurants. Apparently, Brown needed time to eat dinner and be on a cable show. And apparently, the Sharon Worthy, who is Brown's press secretary, that's who it was, she said, well, you know what? He needs more time to eat dinner at a Baton Rouge restaurant, and he needs more than 20 or 30 minutes to have his dinner, to get on this cable show, and then he'll come down to the Superdome and see what's going on. So, my well-meaning listener is drawing a Life Imitates Phil comparison between Jay Santos saying he's eating his 8-piece and not saving people from the floodwaters, and FEMA director Mike Brown eating at a restaurant and not going down to the Superdome, and like that. It's cool. It's not bad. I wouldn't necessarily call it a complete Life Imitates Phil, but it ain't bad. And that's from Chris Bramwell in Washington, D.C. And that's the longest, most involved email I've ever read in my life on any radio station. That took a total of 8 minutes to read, go online, read the story, and figure out. Well, I'm happy to do it, Chris. Thank you. Bloody fool. If you'd like to send us an email, please don't. No, send it to phs@philhendryshow.com. That's phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll try our very best, I guess, to read it. And also, your requests are certainly welcome at phs@philhendryshow.com. If you got a request for an old bit, a flashback bit, we'll do it to it. Also, on November the 11th is our webcast, so go to the website, www.philhendryshow.com, and sign up for a backstage pass. You can watch how we do the radio show, the different things that we do on the show, and, you know, check it all out. While at the website, we got a brand new Phil Drives to Work, which I videotaped today. It's not really videotaped, it's sort of digitally recorded today, and you can see the next stretch of freeway that I'm... And man, I blew it. I saw another really good accident today on the freeway, and I had my camera there, and I tried to get a shot of it. If you go to our website and go to the homepage, you'll see that the still that I took, I just missed getting a picture of this god-awful accident. I certainly hope that there wasn't a fatality. I don't think there was, but there's like a jackknife truck and lots of looky-looing man in the freaking southbound lanes, and... But you'll see a picture that looks like a parking lot? No, that's an L.A. freeway. And everybody's just backed up, waiting for somebody to get something cleared out. I have been the cause of a traffic jam before, and it doesn't take much. In fact, it doesn't take anything. All you have to do is stand there, man. Just stand there. I don't know what it's like anywhere else in the country, because I've never had a car, but I had a car breakdown once in Atlanta for a flat tire, but I didn't see the only cats that stopped were Secret Service guys trying to clear the route for George Bush number one. But I had, I told you, a few months ago, occasion to lose control of my car because the, you remember the gas pedal stuck? I got it off the road, well off the road. Well off the road, man. I got out of my car. I'm standing there. I'm talking to a CHP. The guy's got his car well off the freaking road. There is nothing impeding any traffic anywhere. And yet, by God, they're all slowing down to see what's, hey, it's a guy and he's standing there. I mean, and as they're staring at me, I'm saying to the cop, and we're both looking back, and I said, look at these jackasses. What is this? He goes, yep, always happens. The cop has seen it all. I said, you know, they're slowing down for what? I just want to, you know, look at your car. It's a nice car. I said, thanks. Not worth slowing down to 35 in a rush hour. Anybody will freaking slow down. So you can check that out, man, and then go and see Phil Drives to Work. Also, we have a new Vernon Dozier blog. And the picture that we use for Vernon is Wyatt Earp. So, and the reason why is some cat suggested that, one of our listeners. So go over there and check out Wyatt Earp if you want. 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. So my kid turned, Catherine turned 14. And today was her birthday. So I, you know, decided that I would, you know, I was taking her to school. And we had the two big guys home this weekend. It was really bittersweet, man. The two big guys came home from college. One of them up from SC, the other one down from UC Davis. And boy, I'll tell you, that's not for me, but Maria, when she sees the kids, you know, you can tell, you know, here they are, they're back and everything. And all of a sudden, I'm saying things to them. You guys need money? Anybody need any money? Anyone need any? I'm throwing money at them. You'll do anything for them because you want them to stay, but you know, they're not going to stay, man. They got to go back to school, you know? So anyway, today was the little one's birthday, and I guess I was feeling the need to bond, you know, family-wise. So I said, well, I'll take you to school. And as we're going to school, she goes, well, you know, we're early. I said, yeah, we're about 40 minutes early. Want some breakfast?
Uh-huh.
How about, let me guess, McDonald's?
Sure.
What is it that McDonald's, what's the hold they have? They got it down. You think Jack in the Box and those guys would figure it out? Here, A, clean the freaking floor. B, have some freaking hamburgers on your menu to go along with the pita pockets and that jive stuff you guys serve. Burger King does a pretty good job at sticking close to the burger thing. But Jack in the Box, somewhere along the line, somebody lost their mind at their board of directors. They said, I got an idea. How about a bacon, chicken, bacon fat, brisket? How about a brisket burger? You know, what are you talking about, BJ? So we go over there, man, and I go up to the counter. Now, McDonald's does a really good job because, yes, of course, they do have your alien resident counter people. But they're very nice people. And so I got up there. My daughter, she does the thing. Yes, sir, what would you like? Yeah, can I get a number two, but I want another sandwich. Okay. And I said, could you tell me the difference between a muffin and a, I forget what it was called. It was something like a, I don't know, it was an Egg McMuffin or an Egg McSomething else. An Egg McToast something. What is the difference between that? Now, you know when a cat doesn't speak English, you'll say, okay, so, you know, like, just let's just blow by that. Yeah, what's the difference between an Egg McMuffin and an Egg McToast? All right, so that'll be $6.95. But I really want an answer to the question, man. You know, all right, that's great. How about an orange juice? No, wait a minute. So I said, so here comes, like, what is it?
Oh, well, one is a pancake, sir, and the other, oh, no, I don't want that.
So I want to have a, now my daughter, because she's familiar, like any kid, she's familiar with the McDonald's menu. She looks up, she goes, she's looking at me with that, the way teenage girls look at you. It's kind of a curled, it's kind of a squint, like, God, are you strange? You ever gotten that look? It's that way that a girl of 14 looks at you. She just, huh?
The kind of, what? I'm looking at her, what? What are you doing? God, you weird. I said, I'm getting two instead of one sandwich. You already get two. By the time I'd realized my mistake, I had six of these sandwiches sitting in front of me. This poor guy says, you want to have two of the number two because you also get the two. And I said, run that by me again. And the guy's going, you don't think I speak English? So I wound up sitting there with like nine of these sandwiches. And another 158 calories. 158,000 calories, excuse me. So we went over, we ate this thing, and I said, you know, happy birthday, and let me just tell you something. You're going to meet a lot of scumbags out there, baby. You know, because it's the first thing that you say, you know, when a girl becomes a teenager, don't you ever let a guy, you ever done this conversation, you'll have this conversation, you ever have a daughter, Harry, and you too, Mark, or you'll have this conversation with the girl that your son dates, I should say. Now, anyway, Mark's son, Jack, will be going out with a girl. I just want you to know something. My son's a real scumbag. Don't you ever let him try anything. Now, you always say to her, now, here's the lowdown. Guys respect you. Any guy that does not respect you, you don't spend 30 seconds with the guy. Okay? You always know what the phone number is. You always call us if you have a problem. And I will come there, and I'll have a baseball bat. You don't say anything as I go to work on the guy. You just sit in the car and turn on the radio and listen to maybe some of your favorite music while I bounce this guy off the hood of the car. Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, good girl. And you do the whole thing. But most of the time, they give you that look, which is kind of, huh? Man, it's heavy, baby. It's heavy.
Did you quit smoking for a birthday?
Now, moving along, I...
Did you quit smoking for a birthday or not?
She told me I didn't have to.
What a lying sack of crap.
Come here.
You lying sack of crap. I tell you, lying sack of crap.
Don't you ever call me that.
You lying sack of crap.
Sorry, bud.
I don't care. It didn't hurt me. You hurt yourself more than you do me.
I'm talking about my daughter, and all of a sudden you got to bring up some failing of mine, man. I don't need that, okay?
Yeah, I know. All you got to do is look in the mirror every morning.
You'll get yours, man, in about 30 minutes. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Denzel Fresh, and this is Jazz Encounter. I hope you can sit with us for the next several hours as we present some of the top names in jazz. I'm Denzel Fresh here on Jazz Encounter on FM 31.7. Jazz for all of the metro area. Oh, yeah. Slow traffic to the right, ladies and gentlemen. Move it on over to the left. We're changing lanes here on Jazz Encounter. Yes, I'm Denzel Fresh, and I am your fresh new host here on Jazz Encounter after my 15-year stint across the street at a rhythm and blues radio station. To be perfectly honest with you, I'm much more comfortable playing rhythm and blues and rock and roll than jazz on Jazz Encounter. Many people think that a man of my elocution should be on a jazz station, an individual who can turn a phrase, clip a word, down-inflect, and basically give an elegance to the language is much more suitable for Jazz Encounter. But I hate jazz. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, at the risk of the owner of this radio station and the general manager and program director, all three listening in, I can't stand this garbage that I'm playing right now. Jazz, to me, is a lot of mental masturbation. A bunch of brothers sitting around with horns, seeing how many big high notes they can get out of it. A lot of unsyncopated crap. A lot of mind games. A lot of above-the-belt stuff. In other words, I would rather eat glass. I'd rather chew the peanuts out of you-know-what than have to play this music on Jazz Encounter. I want to be back across the street. I want to be back playing that plastic, the real good wax, some of that solid R&B and rock and roll, not this funky, overheated, crap. Jazz blows. Ever since the wave came on the air, that is.
Paid for by people who are observing the death of jazz because of the wave.
Man, that blows. Listen to that. Sound like somebody just goosed him.
Thanks a lot, Denzel. That was pretty cool, man.
What do you know, man?
Well, I'm just asking, dude. Sorry you had to come across the street and play that jazz. There's Denzel Fresh with Jazz Encounter. You can hear him each and every night at 1, 2, 6, 5, 10, right there on FM something or other. Jazz Encounter. Woo-hoo! Phil Henry's show here. I don't listen to jazz anymore. Well, I do, but not so as you'd notice. I ain't going to stick it on in the car or anything. I don't want anybody going, oh, you think you're special? No, I don't think I'm special. I'm just taking a break, that's all. Taking a little bit of a break, that's all I'm doing here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I just saw a story today in the newspaper about some, I don't know, all it said was, kids sing songs about the white race. Did you hear this? I don't know. It was some kid that's been taught homeschooled by his Aryan mother, and he's singing all of his white man music. And people laugh at me because I'm still reading Nazi books. I'll tell you why I'm still reading Nazi books. That stuff ain't gone away, baby. I'm staying up to date. Every now and again, some nut comes out of the woodwork. And I'm not sure I know, is it because there isn't anything else to write about, or is it really a threat? I tend to think it's because it's a slow news day. So they find some mom that's homeschooling her kid, and she lives up in the woods, and she wants to preserve the white race. And so anyway, make a long story short, she teaches the kid something, you know, like how to sing whites-only music. As in, you know, the night the whites went out on Broadway. And this is music that is, you know, like pride in the race kind of thing. So my kid says to me, what's with all the World War II books, man? I said, because it's like it's still happening, baby. Don't worry about it. There's all kinds of cats out there, all kinds of guys who want to get the buzz cut, do the Mohawk, the freaking Klan. I don't know. You know, here's the thing about the human race. We are destined to shuffle the deck, as George used to say down in Miami. We are destined to shuffle the deck. You know that? If it wasn't for Phil Henry, who is basically an evolutionary cul-de-sac, something else George used to call me, I'd be helping shuffle the deck right now, too, man. I mean, I am married to a white woman, but a guy can get around. I'm kidding, honey. But do you realize that it's not so much the goal of humanity to maintain the races. It's the goal of humanity to shuffle the freaking deck so that we're all that nice milk chocolate color about 500 years in the future. In fact, what flick did I see? Was it the new Time Machine? Did you see the new time? Well, they came out with a movie called Time Machine, which was the H.G. Wells classic, updated. And in the book, this cat gets into his little time machine and he goes thousands of years into the future, like 10,000 years into the future. And in the movie, the original movie I saw as a kid, it was on TV, it was a cornball thing, they were all blondes. The people that he encountered, they were little simple people, and they lived in almost like a paradise. And they were little blonde people, and they pranced and played, but once a day, this siren would go off, this, right? And they would all go to the mouth of this giant carving. It's like a huge sculpture on the side of the hill, and they would march inside because the things that lived underground would eat them. Now, there were some kind of mutated creatures that lived underground that ate the little white people above. All right. Cut to the modern time machine. I forget what was in it. But he goes into the future. Now, these people, it makes more sense because they're all kind of a nice milk chocolate. They are all tanned. They look kind of white, but they also look a little Filipino, and you can throw a little black in there, too. Their hair isn't kinked out totally, but it's wavy. It isn't jet black, but it's got a nice dark kind of mahogany to it. And they're all just a nice even tan. Everybody looks the same, right? Now, some people think that's a drag. Some people think a future where we all are basically the same race is a drag. And I'm sitting thinking, what's wrong with that, man? You know, like, for instance, every kid that I see of a mixed race, I mean, I'm not saying they're all good looking, but have you ever seen Irish and Filipino mixed person? We had a saleswoman at the station. She was a combination Mick and Spick. I'm kidding. She was a combination Irish and Filipino. Man, was she gorgeous. Okay? Remember how everybody used to say OJ's kids were so good-looking, so pretty? Remember his daughter? Black father, white mother, right? Now, if I were to marry a black woman, they'd all have big, bright red hair and freckles and have black faces. All right.
Yeah, real good looking.
Better looking than you. That's for sure. So the fact of the matter is, bud, don't be looking at me like that.
I got something I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
You think Derek Jeter's good looking?
Okay, here we go, man. Now you're going to start running down the whole mixed race thing?
Do you think Derek Jeter's good looking?
He ain't a bad looking guy.
What a gay.
Yeah, I knew it, man. All you got to do is get... Derek Jeter's a fine... How about David Justice?
Well, you think he's mixed race?
You don't remember David Justice, the guy that played with the Braves?
Yeah.
You don't think he was mixed race?
No, he looked black to me.
That cat had part white blood in him, sure as God made green apples, man.
What are you talking about? That guy was coal black.
David Justice was coal black?
Yeah.
No, he wasn't, man. He looked, he had like a half white.
What about Halle Berry?
What about her?
She's half white.
No, she ain't, man. I don't think she is.
Yes, she is. How else could she be so good looking?
Boy, are you a racist mother for saying that.
What are you talking about? That's what you're talking about. You're such a liar.
Listen, jackass, just because she's good looking doesn't mean she's got to be mixed race.
I'm calling Mr. Hall.
What a pussy. Yeah, Noah Berry, Halle Berry's dad. So now you know, bud, see?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Wallace Berry is her grandfather. Get out of here. I'm just telling you, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, that it's the future of the human race. We're all going to get mixed together, and I couldn't care less. The sooner, the better. Oh, God, please let it happen soon. So the rest of these freaking crackers can get out of my life. All them freaking black pride, white pride, ass pride is more like it. I'm joining the ass pride contingent myself. And just all pound freaking sand, man. And that Mavis Leonard last week talking about how hockey's racist because the puck's black. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, speaking of hockey, there's two hockey players on Channel 7 right now. One of them is a guy named Scott Niedenfuhr or Niedermeyer or something with the, you know what? And I don't think they're paying him enough, because if they paid him a little bit more, he wouldn't have to show up in jeans and a shirt and his hair. It looks like he just got out of bed, bed being the back of his car. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Go to our website, www.philhendryshow.com. Get a Backstage Pass membership for our November the 11th webcast. And that webcast will be a webcast of our show. How we do it, when we do it, and what we do here. And you can see it with like three or four different cameras showing you the angles. By getting a Backstage Pass, you subscribe to the site, and boom, you got it. To that dude that's selling my 1995 CD on eBay, whatever. Some cat's selling my stuff on eBay. You're breaking the law. You are breaking the law, man, and I know who you are. 95 CD of mine, you selling my stuff, you're going to make the profit? Do you honestly believe that I'm going to let that happen? Do you honestly believe that I'm not already on it? That I don't already have your home phone number, home address, your name, where I can find you as I sit outside your house in a car with tinted windows and reefer smoke just sort of leaking out the driver's side window as I get nice, as I sit there getting hopped up and crazy, waiting for you to come out of your house. Now, I don't mind it. It's fine. People can do whatever they want to do. As I've often said, you can download the material off our website. But that CD, that money goes to charity, see? And when you take that CD and you try to profit from it, as opposed to the bread going to my people over there at my friend's place, well, now, that's a horse of a different color, isn't it?
What's the highest bid?
Well, it's about five. What do you mean, what's the highest bid? I don't know.
Well, you said you were online trying to check it all out. Well, you can buy your own stuff back?
Maybe I will. And look at, man. Quit trying to screw me up, otherwise bad stuff's going to happen, and it'll all happen to you. So anyway, get that backstage pass and, you know, like that. And if you pick up a Best of the Phil Henry Show CD over our website, please know that the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. All the bread goes to those guys. Our 2005 due soon. When's that baby coming out, man? It's at the duplicator now, right? When did we send it to duplicator? Last week. So it's going to be...
CD went out 2 weeks ago. The artwork duplicated last week.
So when did the CD went out, the sound? 2 weeks? So it'll be ready in 2 weeks. Oh, that'll be cool. So it'll be all ready for Thanksgiving. We'll do some signings before Christmas. Maybe we'll even do another Christmas signing like we did a couple of years ago. We were doing it up until last year down at different spots around town. I get some of people upset because, well, you're doing signings in the L.A. area. Why not over in our portions? And I want to do that. I really do. Maybe you could help me with a plane ticket to fly to your city and possibly put me up at your house. You don't even have to get me a hotel room. Just park your car in your driveway. Here you go, Phil. You'll be real comfortable. Just open the back door, and I'll just lay down in the back seat. All right, be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Right now, so I'm looking at...
Well, what are you looking at?
I'm looking at eBay right now. Some of your materials on there.
Okay, like what?
Here's one here. Best of Phil Henry Show 2000 to 2003. It's like 100 different character routines.
What's the highest bid?
$11.50.
$11.50.
Yeah, and here's another one here. Get all 1, 2, 3, 4. They got four CDs, 1994 through 1997. Original price is $20 each. Highest bid is $5.
Okay, we can go now.
No, here's another.
We can go now, okay?
Look at that, man. You can't even get $5 and they sold for $20.
Here's another one here. Get Phil Henry's routines. I burned them onto MP3s. Oh, this dude's giving you MP3 stuff. I got 200 bits, all high quality. And the highest bid is $2.95.
$295?
No, $2.95.
What are you laughing at, man?
God, don't get your jaws tight, man.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this tard.
Oh, you think you're so hot.
I don't think I'm hot, man. Some guy's selling my stuff, and I'm getting freaking $2.95. I ain't even getting $2.95 for it.
Doesn't look like that dude's going to get $2.95 for it that's got it up on eBay, either.
It's a Phil Henry Show. See you tomorrow night. What else?
Here's one here, the best of John and Ken.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.